Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message was recorded and produced at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, well, good morning. I am one of, if you haven't met me yet, the many Matts here at North Star, and I've been effectively given the title Big Matt, and Matt Simpson is Little Matt now, so you need to tell him if he wants to claim the title of Big Matt, he needs to consume a little more creatine than he's probably already consuming. So his arms are so much smaller than mine already. My name is Matt. My wife Jill and I, this is the end of our third week, I guess the start technically of our fourth week here at North Star. We spent, thank you. We have spent the past 6 years at Fellowship Community Church in Roanoke. And actually, we have some Fellowship people with us this morning. So if you all can give them a warm welcome. They came out to support us this morning. And this transition has been really like one of the highlights of my life. The way that Fellowship like rallied around us and supported us, and the way that they've impacted me as a person. I've told them this as part of our transition, but I will share it with you. We would not be here at North Star today if it wasn't for Fellowship and the way that God has used some of these people in my life and just to sharpen me and equip me. And so we're super thankful for them, and we're super thankful for the way that you have received us and welcomed us in. Looking around the room, we already see so many familiar faces. And so just this time of transition, just on both sides of it, has been just such a blessing to me, and we feel so loved, and just like the when we talk about the impact that the church has, we're going through a series right now called The Good Life, and we're looking at what it means to be the church. And I can just say, man, like being a part of this transition, we have gotten to experience like the receiving end of what it means to be the church, and so we're super thankful. Our hearts are full as we dive into this today. If you're a guest with us, or if you've missed a few weeks this summer, we spent the entire summer walking through this series, The Good Life, looking at a few just kind of different components of what it means to be the church and actually live that out. We have gotten to experience like the receiving end of what it means to be the church. And so we're super thankful. Our hearts are full as we dive into this today. If you're a guest with us, or if you've missed a few weeks this summer, we spent the entire summer walking through this series, The Good Life, looking at a few just kind of different components of what it means to be the church and actually live that out. And since I've been here, I've gotten to listen to Braden talk about the importance of community. I've gotten to listen to Jeff talk about the importance of faith versus doubt. And then last week, Matt Simpson, he talked about walking kind of patiently and purposefully and kind of eliminating hurry in their lives. And then today, we're going to close out the series on The Good Life by looking at living sent and what it means to be sent, to live sent, and to be on mission. When we say living sent, we're referring to the mission that God has given us to make disciples, to share the gospel, and bring others into relationship with him. And so when we say living sent, really we're talking about that E word of evangelism. And when you think about evangelism, I don't know what comes to your mind, but evangelism is a lot of times it's one of those words that it kind of brings up like some difficult feelings like internally. Because evangelism can kind of be difficult. And so for some of us, when we hear that word, like maybe you feel a little bit of discomfort even thinking about that. Maybe you even feel a little bit of anxiety thinking about evangelism or intimidation. And so what we want to do today is look at the call that we have as believers and hopefully walk away just with some tangible concepts of what it means to live on mission. I hope that today's text empowers us to be able to make disciples and share the gospel with those around us. And so as we've walked through this series, we've kind of used this sort of fishing analogy, if you guys have noticed. And today, like, there's an ice fisher as part of the picture here. And this is ironic because when I saw this theme, I was like, oh no, like, how am I going to do this? Because, like, I don't fish at all. You know what I mean? Like, I've been fishing 3 times in my entire life, and I only enjoyed one of them. But here we are. And so as we look at this concept of fishing, I did realize, though, that I've learned a lot about fishing over the years, not by actually doing it, but actually because my wife and I, several years ago, we really got into the show River Monsters with Jeremy Wade. I don't know how many of y'all watch that, but that show is awesome. If there's one person in the world that I could have coffee with, it would be Jeremy Wade. He's an extreme angler. You know what I mean? Just like hearing that, it's like, man, that's like exciting. But Jeremy Wade, like the way that he catches his fish, and this is something that's always kind of stood out to me, but he says that like his approach to fishing is that he attempts to think like the fish would think, which kind of sounds weird because I don't know how big of a brain like a fish would have. But he says, I try to think about like the fish that I'm catching. In other words, he's saying that like when I fish, I'm fishing with the mindset of being intentional and proactive. Instead of just casting a line in the water and hoping that I get something and kind of seeing what's out there, he goes into it with this mentality of like, you know what, I'm aware of what I'm trying to get. I'm aware of what's around me. Like I'm going into this with intentionality and the mindset of being proactive. And so being intentional and proactive, I think is really what it means when we say to live sent. And when we look at living sent, we're going to see sort of 4 components in the passage today. We're in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And we're going to see 4 components of what it means to live sent. The first one is this. It's very simple. It's to be engaged. Be engaged. And when we say be engaged, what we're saying is basically be attentive or present with the people around you, the environment around you, and what maybe you experience on your day-to-day basis. As we read this passage, it's important to note in verse 18 at the very beginning, it says this, that while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw 2 brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So it's important to notice that Jesus, he didn't like set out to go straight to Andrew and Peter. The scripture actually says while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he sees Andrew and Peter. And when you think about like what this might look like, obviously Jesus is on dry land because he's walking. He's not walking on water yet. He's walking on the dry land, and then Andrew and Peter are casting their net into the water, and so he sees them, and then he makes a conversation with them. He has interaction with them. But it started just with the reality of that he noticed Andrew and Peter. And as a matter of fact, like when we think of the Great Commission, which is some of Jesus' last words before he resurrected, he says, go and make disciples. And some people say that word go because it's a participle. Some people say that that's best translated to say that as you are going, make disciples. We have to be careful with that because I think sometimes like if we translate it that way, it can sound like we don't have a purpose. It can sound like we don't have to go. And like if we do have to go, like at times, but I think there's a lot of merit in that. Just in the sense of like realizing, hey, we can make disciples with the people around us. Like, yes, it's great to go to Africa. Yes, it's great to do short-term missions, long-term, all those things. But there are also people on our everyday lives that like as we are going, we live with an intentionality and a purpose to make disciples. And I think we see this here with Jesus. As he's walking by, he notices people that are around him. If you're fishing, going back to the analogy of fishing, like casting a line in the water, you got to pay attention. You got to wait for that pull that's on the net. You know, you got to look and see if the fish are jumping. You've got there are all kinds of things that you can watch for when it comes to kind of being a successful fisherman and actually walking away with something. But notice here that Jesus, he's present enough to know that Andrew and Peter are around him. He's not like walking with his AirPods in, and ignoring his environment. And he's not like, he's not so focused on like tunnel vision. And we all know that Jesus, he's on mission every day, right? But he's not so focused on kind of this concept, like tunnel vision of going somewhere or getting to the next thing that he misses the people that are around him. As Matt Simpson talked about eliminating hurry from our lives last week, I think this comes into play here where sometimes like we just get so busy or in such a hurry that maybe we've missed the people around us. I think about my own situation, like my wife Jill, she hates walking with me because I walk like 10 times faster than she does. And so a lot of times I'll like leave her in the dust. And I had surgery last year and she said, Matt, like the moment that I knew that you were back to normal is when you started like leaving me in the dust again on the walks, right? And so like I'm right here like with you in this. Like there's sometimes I get so caught up like in where I'm going or like what's next that like I probably pass so many people around me that I haven't noticed. But Jesus, he doesn't do that. He notices Andrew and Peter. And so what we want to ask this morning is this, is what's keeping us from being engaged? What's keeping you from being engaged with the people around you? Is it a hurried life? Is it distraction? Or is it even self-absorption? Like, are we just so focused on our world and what's happening in our lives that just, we just haven't noticed that what's going on around us, the need that somebody else may have, the person that may God has strategically placed in our network. Maybe it's even insecurity, or we even like just kind of insecure with who we are that we just miss out on the people around us. I want you to ask that question for yourself and myself. Is this like, what is keeping me from being engaged with the people around me? But more importantly, I want you to ask this, is who is it that I've been missing? Who is it in my life that I've just kind of passed by, maybe I've turned away from, I've neglected, maybe somebody's annoying, we don't want to deal with them. Who is it in my life that I've been missing? See, Jesus was engaged with the people around him. And it's not ironic that he uses the metaphor of being fishers of men. In this passage, he tells Andrew and Peter, he says, hey, follow me. While they're fishing, he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And it's not ironic that the metaphor that he uses is their occupation, like they are fishermen. And I think that speaks to us because it says, hey, like, there's a greater purpose as Christians in our lives, regardless of what you do as a career. And that purpose is to reach others. And we can use that career, we can use that network, we can use where we are to reach others. And so essentially what we're saying is like, we as followers of Jesus, we can do the same things we're doing every single day, go about our normal lives, go to the same store, same job, same school, same friends, all of these things every single day, but instead we do it with purpose and with mission. Instead we do it with a spirit of being proactive and intentional. And then that kind of frees us up to kind of do whatever it is that we want to do, as long as we make disciples. See, sometimes when we hear that word evangelism, like we get this mindset in our head that like we've got to stand up in front of people and give the gospel or do something grand. And the reality is like evangelism, it happens on a day-to-day basis. You can use who you are, your personality, to be intentional, to make an impact on somebody else. You can use where you are in your neighborhood and your work to make an impact and be intentional with somebody else. You can even use the things that you enjoy. And sometimes we think like following Jesus, we can't do the things that we enjoy, but the reality is like you can, and you can use those for the kingdom. I told our students this at middle school camp, but I'm a huge WWE fan. Some of y'all are gonna laugh at me. Some of y'all though, secretly watch every week on Monday nights. It's the highest rated show on TV. It's the longest running weekly episodic show. Of course, people are watching, okay? You can't tell me they're not. But I've seen God use WWE time and time again in my life. All the way back at college, like we had some guys, they didn't know Jesus, they weren't connected. They found out we watched WWE. They started watching the pay-per-views with us once a month on Sundays, and they changed throughout the course of that. I've made tons of friends through WWE over the years, some disconnected people who became connected. And the reason I bring that up is to say, if God can use something as silly as WWE, he can use whatever it is that you're into and whatever it is that you enjoy. And it's not that you're stopping doing those things, it's just you start to use it for a greater purpose. And this is kind of what we say when we say we're living sin and we want to be engaged, is to change that perspective, to use the things around us for the kingdom of God and make relationships, be engaged with people. So number one, be engaged, but number two is this, patiently stick with it. Patiently stick with it. Now, we don't see this from the text. You actually have to look at other passages to realize this, but if you read this text at face value, it looks like Jesus' interaction with Andrew and Peter happens pretty quick. Like, he shows up and he calls them, he says, hey, I'll make you fishers of men. They drop their net and they, sorry, I've been sick, and they go with him, and sorry if I shook your hand this morning. Maybe wash that. Yeah, hopefully getting over that. But Jesus, like, when he calls them, it looks like, man, they immediately get on board. But the reality is, if you look in John chapter 1, this is actually not their first interaction with Jesus. In John chapter 1, we actually see that Andrew and Peter have met Jesus before while Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And so this is really at least like their second interaction with who Jesus is. And I think the reason is that this is important is because for many of us, like, we have people in our lives that don't know Jesus. We have sons or daughters or moms or dads or friends that don't know Jesus. And those things weigh on our heart, and rightfully so. And there's nothing that we want more than for that person to come to Jesus. There's nothing that we want more than to be able to rest our head at night to know my loved one knows Jesus. But here's what happens sometimes when we get into that situation is sometimes that desire for someone to know Jesus, it's so strong that when it doesn't happen right away, it can feel like it's time to give up. And it can feel like maybe this person is never even going to experience Jesus. Maybe this person will never come into a relationship with Jesus. But I think what this passage shows us is like, hey, sometimes it takes different interactions, different relationships, and different times for someone to know Jesus. Like, discipleship, being a disciple, like, a lot of times we want those things instantly, but discipleship, it's really not an instant process. It takes time. And so if you've got people in your life that you care about, don't give up on those. But keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep sharing the gospel at appropriate times. You don't have to do it all the time, but at appropriate times, when it matters, when you feel like you've got that window of opportunity. But don't give up. Keep interacting. I believe that the first interaction that Peter and Andrew probably came into play here, they kind of already experienced just a little bit of who Jesus is. And so then when they see him in this passage and he calls them with such authority, like, they've already kind of got a concept, right, of this person of Jesus. He's already kind of on their minds. And when we look at the life, like the lives of the disciples, it's interesting. I've thought about this recently, but can you find a moment of conversion for many of them in the scripture? I don't think we can. Like, you have your Paul's, right, where Jesus shows up to him and his life is instantly changed and he meets Jesus right then and there and he's transformed. But when you look at the disciples, it's like they follow Jesus. They mess up a lot. They eventually, like, we know they eventually become empowered with the Holy Spirit and they become changed and they become bold and they go and take the gospel to other places. But for a lot of them, like, we don't see a defining point at which they came to true faith. And I think that's important because sometimes salvation experience for some is like that. There are some of us in this room, we could say, yep, back in spring on April 2nd, 1998, like I met Jesus and that's awesome. But for others of us in this room, like we're not really sure like when we were saved, right? Like we know that we are now, like we know Jesus now, but we can't pinpoint like a moment in time. Maybe it was a process over time, and hey, that's okay. It's important to remember that because I think the disciples experienced that. A conversation that you might have with someone about who Jesus is right now, that can come into play again later. It's because you don't know when God's going to work. You don't know what God is doing in the hearts of somebody. And sometimes some of the people maybe you're even interacting with, maybe they already do know Jesus. It's just not necessarily visible yet. It's not necessarily something that you can see yet. If you think about fishing, it's a great analogy for the way that this works. But fishing, like those of you that fish, you know it takes different times each time you go fishing. Sometimes you can drop a line in the water and you get something pretty quick. Sometimes you leave that line in there for a while. And I think back to River Monsters, like there are certain shows where Jeremy Wade, he spends like 6 days out there like trying to get a fish like with no success. And sometimes that's the way it is when it comes to reaching the people around us. We have to trust the process and trust that God is still working, even if we don't get that instant result that we want. It's not as simple a lot of times as just seeing someone say a prayer. Sometimes God works over time. So number one, be engaged with the people around you. Number two, like patiently stick with it. Don't give up on that. Don't give up on praying for someone. But number three is this. We have to actually communicate the gospel. In verse 19, Jesus says to them, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus, he doesn't just walk by and say hello, good morning, and continue on. He doesn't even say, like, it's good to see you, Andrew and Peter, but he approaches them and he gives them a statement that cuts to the heart. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And from there, they have to wrestle with that, and they have to respond to that. They have to do something with that command. In 2025, it's really, really popular to like do good things for people in the name of Jesus, but never actually get to the gospel. And I think like if you look at Christian history, there's always kind of like a pendulum that swings. And I think 40 years ago or so, like the American church was really good at talking about the gospel, maybe not so good at living the gospel. And now I feel like, man, like we see churches all the time, like be the hands and feet of Jesus. I think like the American church is active and they're on it and they're ready to serve and help people. And we see that much more now. But I think like what happens with that sometimes is the flip side is then we forget to actually give the gospel. And you don't want empty words. You want both. You want your lifestyle to match up with the gospel. If we're going to preach the gospel, surely we should serve other people. Surely we should do disaster relief. Surely we should feed the hungry. We should do all of the things that Jesus says. But at some point, we do have to give the gospel. The gospel has an explicit message of how a person comes into a relationship with Jesus. And if we don't give that, then someone may never know. I ask our students this a lot. Like, this is one of my favorite questions, but it's like, how do we know who Jesus is in 2025? And the answer to that is either you heard it from someone else or you read it in the scripture. If we didn't have the scripture 2,000 years after Jesus' resurrection, then none of us would probably know who Jesus is either. And that's because the message, it's specific. The way in which we come into a relationship, the gospel is specific. We have to realize that we're a sinful person. We have to realize our need for Jesus. We have to trust that he is the only solution. We have to trust that he's resurrected. All of those things are specific. And the scripture actually tells us that in Romans, like, there's enough evidence in creation for us to come to a general idea of who God is. So in other words, if you look outside and you see the beauty of creation today, very nice day. It's nice not to have the blistering heat for the first time this weekend in a while. We can look outside and look at this beautiful weather and look at creation and say, okay, God must be creative because our world looks really nice. Like, that's called general revelation. We can generally come to an idea about God. But the problem is, the gospel is not general. The gospel is specific. And we call that special revelation. And that means that Jesus came to reveal himself and reveal more about who God is specifically. And the only way that we can go from general revelation to specific revelation is if we communicate the gospel specifically. It even asks in the scripture, it says this, like, how will people know if they never hear? How will people learn if nobody actually does it? How will people get to the gospel if we never give it to them? So in 2025, I want to encourage you, don't just fall into the trap of doing good things and never getting to the gospel. See, Jesus in this passage, he is walking by, but here's what it would look like if he never got to the heart of the matter. He would walk by and he says good morning and he keeps going and he never calls Andrew and Peter and they stay in the boat and they continue to cast their net. And a modern day equivalent would be like if Jesus brings some cookies over to Andrew and Peter, like, hey, I made some cookies for my neighbor this morning. And they're like, thank you. And then he's like, have a good day, and he goes on his way. It never goes any further than that. I think that's the rut that in 2025 is really easy for us to get stuck into. We want to do these good things. These good things open the door, but we've got to get to giving the gospel, the explicit message of the gospel. And so that leads us to say this. You may be here today and you say, well, Matt, like, that's great. I know I need to share the gospel, but, like, how? Maybe you feel like you don't know enough. Maybe you get nervous. Maybe you're afraid of how somebody in your life will respond to you sharing of the gospel. So, like, what do we do, and, like, how do we do it? Well, I saw this on the screen. We had the opportunity earlier this week, Monday and Tuesday, as ministry staff here at North Star, we got to tour the headquarters and the training facility of the International Mission Board, which was an awesome experience. There's so many things that, like, just I never thought about when it comes to mission work. But during one of our conversations, during one of the presentations, the person that we were with who was speaking, he put this on the screen, and he's like, this is what every single missionary or follower of Jesus always has. We have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God, and we have the people of God. And I saw that, I was like, I gotta write that down. Like, that's some good stuff there. So number one, like, how do we share the gospel? What if you don't know what to say? What if you don't know what to do? Well, by the way, we are going to have an evangelism workshop coming up that we'd love for you to attend that can be helpful. But aside from that, let me just say this. You have the Word of God. If you feel like you're incapable of communicating the gospel, find some verses that communicate the gospel and just give them the verses. You don't have to try to explain it yourself. The Word is powerful. It's God's Word. It will not return void. So if you feel like, man, I don't know what to say, go to the Scripture. Just give them the Word. I've even gotten to the point in my own life, like, where people, when they ask me, like, my opinion on stuff, or what do you think about this situation, like, in relation to God, I always say, like, well, the Scripture says, like, who cares what I think? You know what I mean? Like, but the Scripture is powerful. And so point them back to the Scripture. Or get into the Word yourself and look at those passages and start to memorize those things. Start to think about how the gospel is explained in the Scripture. But if you're here and you're like, man, I'm really bad at memorizing Scripture, guess what? So am I. I can't tell you, like, half of the verse references of stuff that I quote, but I know that it's in there. And it's okay if you paraphrase. It's okay if you give them the gospel, like, in your own way, as long as it's true, as long as it's scriptural, as long as it's rooted in that. It's okay if you can't quote scripture. It's okay if you can't memorize the verse number. But you have the Word of God, number one. Number two, you have the Spirit of God. In other words, God literally lives in you and in me. And in the situations which we step out to give the gospel to somebody else, He's there with us. And He will give us what we need. And a lot of times, just in my own life, like I've seen that where, I mean, I'm a person too. Like sometimes people think like if you work in ministry, like it's easy to evangelize, but it's not. Every single conversation that I have over the gospel, I don't know how it's going to end up. I don't know if somebody's going to get mad. I don't know if they'll reject me. I don't know if they'll accept Jesus. Maybe they will. I don't know. But I know that I have the Spirit with me. And a lot of times the Spirit will help you say or recall things that maybe you didn't even realize that you knew, because that's the way that He works. And lastly, we have the people of God. So if you have people in your life that you know need Jesus and that you want to make an impact on their lives, well, first of all, you have people that can pray for them. So in your small group or in your network of people here at North Star, you can say, hey, man, you know what? Please pray for my son. I've been praying for him for 20 years, and he's not come to Jesus yet. And you get more people that are praying with you and more people that can relate with you. And then you can even say, you know what, like I want to make an impact on this person in my life, and somebody else in that group, maybe they have ideas on that. Maybe they can say, hey, have you tried this? Or maybe they can keep you accountable for following through with giving the gospel. Recently, before I came to North Star, one of my last messages at Fellowship was we were actually going through an evangelism series. But I want you to hear this. If you're here today, and you know Jesus, if you know Jesus, you have everything you need to share that with someone else. If the gospel makes sense in your mind, and you could say, I know what it means for me to have a relationship with Jesus, then you can communicate that to someone else. You don't have to go through the checklist of what a person needs to say or do to be saved. Right here, Jesus, He doesn't go through the ABCs. He doesn't say admit, believe, confess. He just says, follow me. But He's getting to the heart. And so you don't have to go through the checklist. You can just speak truthfully about who Jesus is to you. And Jesus can use those things. Jesus can work in the hearts of someone else. So know that you have everything you need. Okay, lastly, and this is probably the most difficult one, but the last component from this text is this. It's to surrender to the call. Surrender to the call. After Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, the scripture says immediately they dropped their net and began to follow. And it goes on to say later on, after they do that, they encounter a few other people. They encounter James and some others. And it says that those men immediately left their nets as well. But guess what it also says in verse 22? It says, not only did they leave their boat, but they also left their own father and followed Jesus. Being a follower of Jesus, like, it comes with a cost. There is a change in our priorities and a change in our purpose, but sometimes it makes things more difficult. Like, we're talking about the good life, but sometimes, like, following Jesus is more difficult than it was before. And so sometimes, ironically, the good life, like difficulties from following Jesus, become part of the good life. Because it's good for us, and it's good for us to experience following Jesus and sacrificing and relating with Him and surrendering. So the good life is not always easy. But we have to answer that call. See, when Jesus says, go and make disciples, it's not a suggestion, but it's a command. He commands us to do that. He commands us to go. Some even have to leave family. Some leave a job. Some have to step out on faith to do something that they don't know what's next. Like it's different for all of us. But following Jesus, like it's really ultimately comes down just to us saying yes. And we see Andrew and Peter, they go from where they were to where they need to be. And so I want you to ask this morning is, where do I need to be? For you, it might be somebody in your life that you've never gotten around to sharing the gospel with. And maybe this morning, like, God's laid on your heart that, you know what, it's time. I've known this person for a while, but I've got to get to the gospel. For some of us, it may just be living out our faith a little bit more boldly. Maybe we've kind of been kind of living in the closet as a believer, keeping a low profile, and maybe we need to live a little more boldly. I'm not sure what your situation is, but God wants to take us from where we are to where he wants us to go. And here's the reality. It never gets easier to share the gospel. It never necessarily even gets easier to say yes to Jesus sometimes. As a person who works in ministry, who's taken a bunch of evangelism classes, like I'm here to tell, like, it doesn't get easier for me. When it comes to difficult gospel conversations, it's not really ever easy. Even here, like even in North Star, like it's not easy. And this is like the easiest place to do it. But like sometimes, like I've gone to summer camp, and man, I tell you what, I get nervous when students raise their hand. Like if a speaker gives a gospel presentation and a student receives Jesus, and then I've got to take them in another room and talk to them about Jesus, I get nervous. And that's the easiest that it'll ever be. Because that's at summer camp in a room full of other Christians, and it's still hard for me because I don't know where that conversation's going. It's even more difficult in other situations. You say, well, Matt, that's not very encouraging. Here's why that's encouraging. The sooner we realize that and embrace that and get over that, the better. The sooner we stop letting the difficulty of sharing the gospel be an excuse, like, the better. That's why that's encouraging. We just embrace it, we suck it up, we take it with us, and we say, hey, I'm going to move past this. There is no excuse for any of us that is valid enough to never give the gospel. We can make excuses, but no excuse is good enough. So I'm going to ask the band to come forward as we get ready to wrap up this entire series on living sent. As you go about your life, as you go about the good life, part of the good life is getting to experience when other people know Jesus. And there's no greater joy than seeing someone else come into a relationship with Jesus. And so as you depart, I want you to remember that you are called to live sent. When you go to work this week, when you go to school this week, look at it differently. Look at it with a mission that you have. Be engaged with the people around you. Stick with it in the tough times. Get to the gospel and surrender to the call that Jesus has placed on your life. This whole series, we've been looking at the good life, what it means to be the church. But it's really hard to be the church if we can't say yes to Jesus. Being the church, it starts with saying, Jesus, whatever you ask of me, yes. And that's how we enter and experience the good life of being a follower of Jesus. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward, and I'm going to pray for us before we receive our offering, and then we'll conclude with a time of worship. God, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you for just the call that you've placed on our lives. God, a lot of times evangelism, it feels difficult. But the reality is, God, you want to use us, and that's a beautiful thing. God, you could just say, I don't want to use you. But instead, God, you actually give us the privilege of sharing the gospel, that we actually get to be the mouthpiece that communicates who you are. We get to live the lifestyle that reflects who you are. There's no greater privilege for us than to do that. And so, God, I pray that you help us to look at that today, look at the call on our lives in light of that, that it's a beautiful thing to follow you and experience the good life. God, as we conclude, I'm reminded just of the fishing analogy of being fishers of men, that God, if we don't answer the call, it's like we're fishing and we've got a fish on the line and we never get it out of the water. So God, I pray that you just enact in us a desire to reach people around us. And let that be a joyful thing, God. Let us enjoy the process of getting to know people, of getting to engage with others. Let us enjoy the process of giving the gospel. Let our lives be evident that you are in it. Let these not be empty words, but God, let us have both the lifestyle, God, and the message of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.